Hey, welcome to You Might Have Missed It. This is Adam.
And this is Nathan.
And this week we are talking about video games you might have missed. Which is different than most weeks because...
Recently, we've been talking about more like popular games.
It's true. We have not really been talking a lot about games that like... Well, last week was the list episode.
Right.
And I don't know if there's like a... Because I tried to come up with a word for it, which is the... There's listicles, which describes like list articles. So how do you like describe a podcast? Like pistacle? Podisticle? Listicle cast?
Right. Listicle cast? Yeah, I like that one.
There we go. So last week was a listicle cast. of our favorite and not so favorite games of 2014. So, you know, if you're curious what those were and you just weren't listening last week, I would say go listen to that.
Yeah. And then listen to this one.
And then listen to this one. Or listen to this one and then go listen to that one.
And then listen to this one again because
yeah, exactly.
chronological order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Because obviously there's plot references in this exactly. one that you're not going to get if you did. You know, you're never going to figure out the mystery to the murder of Sparky.
Or
the YMHMI hamster.
Or you'll get spoilers if you listen ahead first.
Exactly.
Don't do that.
Although no hamsters were harmed during the making of this podcast. I mean, by us. I don't know, like, what cruel people are out there. So.
Yeah, I mean...
Donate to the ASPCA today. I guess I'll start because this week I have been playing
World of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft, yes. No, unfortunately, that has become a cruel mistress. No, that's not true, actually.
A part-time job.
No, that's not true either. I've managed to curb my enthusiasm for it a little bit and have gotten it down to a more manageable habit. Heroes of the Storm, however, I have not gotten down to a manageable habit.
I know. That game is awesome.
it's super fun. And since I think we recorded the last time where we mentioned that game, we had mentioned kind of like last week, and spoilers, if you haven't listened to our list, we enjoyed Hearthstone. If I were to remake that list for 2015, like right now, Heroes of the Storm, just the technical alpha, would be on the top of that list.
It's amazing.
And I'm not a MOBA person. Like, I never got into like League of Legends or Dota. I know we both watched like the Invitational, the Dota 2 tournament, with the huge cash prizes and stuff like that. But I spent the entire time watching the Beginner's Channel and like being confused about the whole thing. And then I tried to play it and I just could not get into it because of like, oh, there's all these last hit mechanics and, you know, you get experience
and the items.
Yeah, and all of the items.
And shit like that.
And kind of my impression of the whole thing was I don't have the brain space to keep track of all of this. Like,
it's micromanage the shit out of every match.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, not just that. It's also knowing all of these strategies because there's multiple metagames going on, which is like your hero choice, your item choice, and then the team choice, and then all of this stuff. And
it's a mess.
And one thing that I've liked about Heroes of the Storm is that it's dropped that down to a much more manageable level because you're only having to keep track of stuff like talents on a specific hero. And beyond that, and beyond like team composition, and maybe to a certain extent, like your power choices and when to use them. That's the metagame. It's manageable without being like, oh God, how much do I have to keep in my head?
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if it's as manageable as like Hearthstone's meta, which is actually a little insane once you deep dive into it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure this is the same way because they haven't introduced stuff like ranked play yet. So when I say meta, there's not actually a meta yet.
Well, and there's another at least three more characters that are going to be coming out before the game's actually released.
Exactly. A new map.
And it's supposed to be going into beta here pretty soon.
The 13th. is what I've been told repeatedly by some of the folks that I play with, is because they every time somebody asks us, so when does this go to beta, like two or three voices will immediately be like, January 13th. It's like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, so
I think I know when it is now.
But we don't know, and it'll be going into beta January 13th. We don't know if it's going to be an open or closed beta.
My guess is they're going to start with a closed beta, and they'll just expand the range of invites first.
Right.
That seems to be how they rolled with like Hearthstone.
Well, and they're expanding it quite a bit, because there's quite a few people who didn't have, like, they're doing it like on almost weekly basis, because like you got it like just a couple weeks after I did.
Yep.
And then I know there's at least three more people that have gotten it since then.
Oh, wow. Okay. Then,
yeah. So, I mean, it's expanding quite a bit.
Well, I mean, we can just look in our own little kind of group of friends and just see how many people have it.
How now we have to be like, okay, how many people are on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
Yeah.
That's a team. I don't get to play. Damn it.
Yeah. Yeah. we're almost at the point where we're just doing skirmishes against each other. Yeah. we will field a real team by the time this is all over. I was actually, right before we started recording, so I was like, hey, up for some heroes? I'm like, I have to record.
And I was like, I want to play some heroes too.
I have to record this podcast this week.
I have to do a show now. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I did not intend to talk about Heroes this podcast, because that was not the game I meant to talk about.
No, but Heroes of the Storm.
Of the Storm. It's a lot of fun. And if you haven't, because it's still in the alpha stages, and then ultimately I believe it's going to be free to play by the time it actually comes out.
Right. So it's microtransaction based. Mm-hmm,
yeah. So if you don't have like a Battle.net account or something like that, this might be worth checking out. Like if you're not a World of Warcraft fan or anything like that, you might miss, or Blizzard Games fan. Yeah, in
StarCraft,
general,
Diablo 3, World of Warcraft, Hearthstone. If you have an account for any of those, go into your Battle.net account settings and go into your beta test settings and get in on that shit.
Exactly. It's a lot of fun, and maybe we'll see each other there. You can be like on our little message board thingy. I guess comments is what they're called.
Comments. to get the Overwatch invite.
That would be pretty cool. That would be nice. I would enjoy that quite a bit. Blizzard is really taking over the kind of the competitive game space, I realized. Yeah. They're like, what do we do? We have a card game. We have a MOBA. We have an MMO arena-based thing. We've got an RTS. We've got a adventure game. We need an FPS.
We need a first-person shooter arena. Yeah.
You know that Team Fortress game? I hear people like it.
Let's
kick its ass.
Let's
challenge that.
Let's just ride it into the dirt. Yeah.
Exactly.
Let's see how fast we can bankrupt Valve.
Probably soon. Never. Yeah.
Not with Steam sales.
No one will knock the hat off that game. Anyway. No, there's been another game that I've been playing over the last kind of week or so. And I didn't play it at all this week, but I played quite a bit in the last week. And that is a game called Banished. And it is...
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sorry.
And yeah, it is kind of a Sim City-ish, but set in kind of like a colonial type of era or something like that. And I say that because it's city management, but with like less than ideal circumstances. Exactly. With dysentery and pneumonia and starvation. Yeah. So like if you thought SimCity lacked mass hysteria and death, that was not realistic, then this is the game for you.
Right. And name people after your uncle so he can die of dysentery again.
Exactly.
After Oregon
Trail. Well, you don't get a chance to name the people. That's the ultimate thing. The names are kind of randomly generated and stuff like that.
Depressing, right?
Anyway. The premise for the game is that you are in charge of a group of either like survivors or settlers that have somehow been like banished into this remote wilderness with almost nothing but like the clothes on their back or something like that.
Yeah, pretty much.
So you have to help them survive by essentially building a new town or a new civilization. And if that sounds like, oh, okay, I've played games like this before, that's, you know, that's Civ. Well, no, because you're not dealing with other civilizations. You're dealing with kind of an isolated town. And if you're like, oh, that's SimCity, well, not really that either, because you're dealing with, I think, a lot more...
It's more individual-based.
It's more individual-based, and it's also a lot more finicky than SimCity, which is weird to say, because SimCity can be a really finicky game. It's fun. That's, I think, the biggest thing to get across, is that it's fun in the sense that you actually feel like your decisions have weight, because it is very easy to watch your city spiral out of control. And to me, that almost seems the end game, is how big can you get before you lose control of everything?
Yeah. And it, and you hit a point. I've watched like some playthrough on it. And yeah, just watching it, like, you hit a certain point and then it all just kind of downward spirals to death.
And, I think to a certain extent that's, you know, that's part of the game design. Mm-hmm. It's a little annoying because there's not a way to really recover from those spirals.
Right.
And part of the reason is that once that spiral starts happening, like, you can't just, like, demolish half the town and start over or something like that. Because it's not like a disease where you could, like, isolate it. It's like hunger 90% of the time is what kills your town. And my first playthrough, I almost starved to death and managed to slightly recover, like almost lost like half the town over a winter. But luckily it was early enough that I was able to just essentially like, okay, I'm going to let these people die. And it was kind of this weird, grim calculus in my head as I'm like, all right, five people are going to die this winter. That's fine. Next summer, I won't have to feed them.
Yeah.
So, and it's like, these people aren't super important. And that same playthrough, I got up to probably about 350 people in the town. And then I got to the point where I was not getting enough food and I didn't notice fast enough. So they were eating through the reserves too quickly that I had built up. And I'd built up huge reserves. So this was
winter,
a problem.
Winter's a bitch to get through in that game.
It is. And I think it's, and I think that's what's interesting about the game, is that it's very, I think, true to what that lifestyle was probably like. And it really makes you, for somebody who, like me, you know, I may be from Montana, but I've never worked on a ranch. I've never worked on a farm. And I don't really think I understand, like, you know, how food distribution works particularly well. And the rules have changed a little bit over, you know, the last 100 years, in the sense of like how, you know, because you have to do some work in like sustainability farming and stuff like that. But just, you know, how much food it takes to feed a city of any sort of size is massive. And this is like not overfeeding your population. This is not like American levels of consumption, or today's American levels of consumption, I should say. But just the amount of like farmland and food production it takes to feed 350 people is actually kind of impressive within this game. And I'm not sure how accurate it is, but I think it's a, if you start like expanding out, you know, the numbers a little bit more and, you know, kind of take it from there, it's like, wow, you have to devote a lot of people to producing this food without mechanization, in order to feed a fairly small population. And, you know, you don't have a lot of specialists within this. Like, I had, you know, two blacksmiths by the time it was done in order to keep up with demand for tools and then trade for tools and stuff like that. And it also makes you realize how important like trade is in maintaining a good economy and maintaining a stable population / economy. So it's interesting. And then also how scarce resources can be, because you have to somehow get like trees can be regrown, but rocks can't, for example. So it's an interesting game and it's a lot of fun. even if your first couple towns spiral out of control, the accomplishment that you get just surviving winter after winter and building up those surpluses, and you know, it's the weirdest sort of pride you will ever experience, is you're like, yes, my population is growing at a normal pace. I'm keeping up. I've got food surpluses. And why did I just invite all of these refugees in? What am I doing? Because that I ultimately is what I think actually pushed me out of control, is
that does
I'd made a bad decision earlier of letting new people in instead of just letting the colony itself grow normally. And it's kind of the question, it does actually raise an interesting question, and that is, you know, like, should you allow people from the outside into this colony that's been banished? Like, do you allow them in to join you, or do you kick them out? Or keep them away or something like that, because you don't have the resources to feed them and stuff like that. So there's some interesting soul searching you have to do kind of within that narrative that you build within the game. And you can play it just as like a resource management type of simulation. But I think that there's some interesting kind of emergent narrative that comes from this game. And it made me question a lot of my own beliefs and a lot of like, well, how would I handle this? You know, how would I personally have, would, you know, do I put the community first? Do I say, well, you know, these people are starving. They probably need to come in. You know, I assume they're starving anyway. They could all just be vagabond freeloaders out to steal our gerbs or something like that. So, you know, and really how you frame those types of people is also a big, says a lot about you to a certain degree. Anyway, it's a fun game.
Wow.
Banished. there was a lot of thought that went through.
I was going to say, holy shit, soul searching in well, there, dude.
And what's interesting about the game is that as much as you're spending time doing the resource management side of it, there's a lot of time during the game where you're just not doing anything. You're kind of at this 3,000 foot view of the entire town. And like when things are going well, you don't need to put a lot of input into it. So like starting out, I played at like 2x speed. And then eventually I was moving into like 10x speed as I would wait for traders to come through. And just otherwise everything ran itself normally. And it wasn't until things started to spiral out of control that I started to have to manage things again more closely. And obviously I didn't recover from that, but it was interesting to watch. And so there's a lot of time that you spend just thinking about, you know, either what you're doing in the game or something like that. So it's a little bit like boiling water, is that you don't always need to be watching it, but if you take your attention away too long, it'll boil over. So anyway, it's a fun game, and it's a game that can either make you think, either do a little soul searching or just about management in general. I make it sound less fun than it is with that statement, but believe me when I tell you, it's a good game.
A good game, otherwise.
Yes.
Really? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sounds cool. I've seen, yeah, like I said, I've seen a lot of playthroughs of it and stuff like that. And it's one of those games that I haven't gotten around to yet. Because, damn it, there's a lot of fucking games.
Yeah, no, and it was, I think it was either I had gotten it before this. It was during the winter sale, I think, that I picked it up.
I think I got it off a Humble sale.
It's possible I got it there too. I can't honestly remember anymore where I get games. I've lost track.
Yeah, it's the games end up in Steam. It's all in the Steams. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which you can check out our curator stuff on our Steam group if you look at us up. We're YMHMI.
So you have been doing a little PlayStation. Like I've been doing soul searching. You've been doing PlayStation searching, which is similar, but slightly different.
Yes, because I'm playing games. You're discovering life lessons. Holy shit.
I'm contemplating the universe. I'm contemplating economic lines. And you've got a controller.
Ethics of running a town. Here I am like, shiny. which actually brings, to the game he's referring to. We mentioned it a few episodes ago when we talked about the PlayStation 4 share play. is Infamous First Light. And the reason this is coming back up again is because if you have a PlayStation Plus subscription, which if you have a PS4, you really should. It's the free game starting on Tuesday, which will have passed by the time this. Yeah, it'll already be up for free for the month of January. It's the free game. Yay, free game. There's a few
if you
others
want a PlayStation.
That we'll talk about.
Huh? If you want a PlayStation.
If you want a PlayStation, you get free games. Yeah. So get a PS4. They're awesome.
Just spend, $400. Get a PS4.
It's not $400. For the love of shit. Christ.
300? I don't know how much it is anymore.
Well, actually, I guess if you get the PlayStation, it's usually 300. The one-year subscription is like $50, and a game would be like $60. So yeah, it'd be about $400. So if you got $400 to blow,
plus if you want to play with other people, you need to get more controllers or make friends with PlayStations. So that is not with like make friends with like the machine, but friends with people who own PlayStations.
I'm Funati on there, just like everywhere else. Find me.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
It's a treasure hunt. Except at the end, you get him.
And yeah, it's a treasure hunt, except all you have to do is type in my name, and then you get me. So
I didn't say it was like a complicated treasure map. Yeah. It's like finding a treasure map inside your house, and it's just like, in your cupboard, chicken soup, that's your treasure. Good luck.
Chicken soup. And now, here's the lack of a map, good luck with a can opener.
I had to dig through 3 cans of cream of mushroom before I found it. Arr. I'm a treasure hunter.
And then I found the cream of chicken, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
I can use this later.
Anyway, Infamous Second Son.
Anyway, so Infamous First Light.
First Light, sorry.
First Light. Yeah, you're thinking Second Son. Which
yeah,
is the,
I am.
Yeah, Infamous First Light is more of kind of a side game kind of thing.
Okay.
It's not the same guy that was in Second Son or the same guy that was in the first Infamous or Infamous 2 or, yeah.
Would it be Infamous kind of like first a light. Guidance story?
Well, with the Infamous games, basically it's kind of a mutant type thing. You have powers based on different things like the Second Son guy was Ash, was based on Ash and, burning. I don't know what everything else was, but Infamous First Light, it's based on neon.
Interesting.
Which is fun as shit because it's shiny as fuck. It's amazing. It's literally like you're a walking fucking light show, and it's awesome. And you sit, walk around going pew pew. And
so you're like Dazzler from the 90s X-Men comic books?
Yes!
80s and 90s. Oh, it's okay, you awesome. Are. Okay.
I like how you meant that as a joke.
I meant
totally
that as a joke,
true.
But that is actually the truth. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, except not only can you shoot it out of your hands and whatnot, you actually shoot it more like a more like if you were holding a pistol, or in some cases you can charge it up and do like a sniper rifle kind of thing.
Okay.
Or you can actually turn yourself into a neon gas and shoot around all over the place really fast.
Oh, okay. It's
very, yeah, exactly. Like you do, weekends.
I moonlight as neon.
Moonlight as neon. But no, it's actually, it's an open world game, and it's set in kind of Seattle. It's kind of Seattle, like the crew United States was the United States.
Right.
See previous episode for
it's,
that.
It's Seattle, Seattle-ish. Condensed.
Seattle light.
Seattle-ish.
but it's actually a fairly decent representation of Seattle. And all the good stuff's there, Space Needle, all that shit. You don't really get much into downtown Seattle, big buildings and shit. Or you do kind of visit the port, but it's very narrowed down. But yeah, it's open world. Basically what it is mutants are now being purged. Basically is a good word. It's the word I'm going to use. And there's a group that has found that basically they've created Seattle to become kind of this prison society. And they've basically taken over Seattle in order to kind of weed out and get rid of the mutants. And basically, you just end up in Seattle. God, I'm not going to say that word again. You end up in Seattle, and you're trying to liberate the different sections. And as you go and clear out different areas, you clear out the sections, and you know, some parts are progressively harder. There's bosses, but most of it is really an open world. And okay. I find that just running around as a fucking running speedy light show is fun as shit.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. So it's kind of and that's similar to the other Infamous games. Isn't mm-hmm. it? Like it just is. The open world type of gameplay.
Right.
So it is a proper Infamous game then. It's not like a side story like I was thinking. Okay. You said it was like a side story, I'm like, oh, okay.
It's a side story as in it's not along the same storyline as Infamous, Infamous 2, and Infamous Second Son.
Okay. So it's like a spin-off.
It's its own little like spin-off. And it's not, it wasn't even ever billed as a full game either.
Okay.
It's more kind of like, this is a DLC that we released at a DLC price as a full game. Here you go.
Oh, nice. Okay, so it wasn't like they didn't bill it as a full game and then like literally bill it as a full game.
No. It was like, when I got it, it was like $20.
Okay.
So
that's not bad.
But yeah, and now it's free. So
there awesome. You go.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Or if you don't have a PlayStation Plus subscription, it's $20. Fucking get it. It's awesome.
Right. There you go.
Yeah. Actually, I was watching the PlayStation Plus thing, and there were a couple other games that were, I was like, I might have to get that. Like, guess what they released on the PS3?
I don't even know.
And it's for free right now.
You're okay. Asking me to, Final Tales. Fantasy VII?
Oh, DuckTales.
Oh, okay. They did the remaster of that pretty recently, actually.
Yeah, that's what's on the PlayStation 3 for free right now.
Nice.
I actually have it on Steam already.
Oh, okay. So you don't really need to get it on PlayStation.
Yeah, no, I don't need it on the PS3. I have it on Steam, but still, if you have a PS3, which I don't see why you wouldn't, they're like $150 right now, and they're still coming out with games for that thing, for Christ's sake.
Or you could buy a computer.
And, or you know, could buy a computer and never have to worry about it again.
Exactly. Well, yeah. Except, you know, when you do.
Oh, when I have to build a new computer?
Yeah, exactly.
I was already looking at new video cards.
No, I know you. You've got that gleam in your eye.
I know. It's been, what, almost a year?
Holy cow, you are so behind now. A year out. No, dude, a new...
I actually saw a Gigabyte came out with like this thing. It comes in a freaking suitcase. And it's a three-way SLI water-cooled 980s.
I don't know what any of those words mean. Like, I understand what water-cooled means.
Okay, so take the... it's the top-of-the-line NVIDIA graphics card right now.
Okay. Three I'm imagining of them. Three of them.
All hooked up to this water cooler that's, like... Take the bottom quarter of your case, and that's the water cooler that sits on top of your case with hoses going into the video cards.
That sounds
to water cool them.
That sounds like a little bit too much commitment. To
I want it.
The second that I have hoses going into things on a computer, the second that I feel the need to call plumbers in order to fix my computer, then hey. I'm going to be like,
Why would you call a plumber? I am right here.
Well, right. I'm just talking about, never mind. Okay. Gaskets and hoses. And you need a source of fresh water. If it becomes too salty, then you're going to... Or actually, would you want salt
water?
Talking
because about, like, that's... No, you don't want salt water.
Okay, my bad.
No, you don't want salt water. There is...
cooling a nuclear reactor is what I'm asking.
Yeah, no, they actually have non-conductive fluid that you use.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, good. It's a lot like mineral water. Good. Mineral good. Oil.
Yeah. So mineral oil into my computer.
That actually, I started going on that trip again. Do you remember that? When I was thinking about getting a fish tank and building a computer and filling it up with mineral oil and shit?
No. Too much. Too much. Too soon.
Yeah, and I looked because I know where you. There was actually a place you could get a fish tank. It was a tank case. It was like $200, and it had all the parts. So you put the hard drives up on top because you don't want the hard drives in the mineral oil. That's right, bad. Right. But like the motherboard, video card, all that stuff goes in the mineral oil, and it's got a motherboard tray and everything like that, and the power supply mount and all that shit. It's all clear, clear acrylic.
Oh my goodness.
And it would go into the fish tank, and you know, you could put rocks on the bottom, and if you put the little bubblers on them, it bubbles and shit. It looked fucking awesome. But
can you get like another fish tank like on the outside and then get like actual fish?
There's
in
actually
there?
Nobody who has done that.
Because really?
Yeah, because with the temperature of your computer, if your computer is off, it's at a really low temp. Well, your computer, dependent upon what you're doing, the temperature of it will vary heavily.
So you couldn't keep fish in that type of environment.
You couldn't keep fish in that type of environment.
That's what I figured. But yeah. I guess I thought like somebody had figured this out or something like that.
No, it turns out, and I like how you say somebody had figured this out. People have tried, because they're people.
Oh, poor fish.
fish, but the fish die because, there is, with the heat dissipation between the water and the mineral oil, especially as hot as the mineral oil gets, it goes from being viscous, to being very, very much fluid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
just because of the amount of heat that it goes through.
Yeah,
and which is actually, beneficial because the more fluid it goes, the better at heat dissipation and everything like that.
The higher capacity has for absorbing temperature.
Exactly. Which is perfect for. I wanted to build a submerged computer, but they got a cease and desist order from some company who thought of that idea, like. And it was really funny because this company has been around doing this for like 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then just now, within the last 4 months, when I finally think I'm going to do it, they get a cease and desist order and can't build them anymore because somebody else owns the patent. And that company that owns the patent on it does not manufacture them.
No.
At all.
No. They're patent fucking trolls, dicks. Is my guess.
Yeah, patent trolls.
So that's a problem.
Dicks.
Yeah. That would be pretty much like the patent trolling is kind of the business of being dicks.
Yeah, exactly.
Literally.
So my other option then is to build my own. Which I have some acrylic, so I could totally do it if I wanted to.
Well, that's been YMHMI this week. Before we get into trouble with patent lawyers, you can catch us, of course, on YMHMI.com, where we have a new podcast every week. You can go to connect with us on Twitter at twitter.com/YMHMI or at YMHMI. You can catch up with us on Facebook and comment and do all of your Facebooky things. I don't know Facebook, so... you can do that over on facebook.com/YMHMI. And you can always check replays from our live games, which, again, like our New Year's exercise resolutions, are not working out. You can catch those at youtube.com/YouMightHaveMissedIt. And, of course, twitch.tv/YMHMI. So thanks for listening, and we will catch you next week. See, that's what we have to do to get listeners, is read half novels. All we need to do to garner new listeners.
More smutty romance novels.
So we're we're launching a new podcast.
A new podcast.
Books my grandmother read.
I was going to say smutty romance novels from World of Warcraft.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Just read them all.
Well, it's funny because these are the types of novels, and my grandmother was an incredibly intelligent woman. She worked for the State Department. just, you know, one smart as a witch.
I don't question her intelligence. I mean, there's
lawyers
that read 50 Shades of Grey, for Christ's sake.
Right, no, but my favorite thing is, and this is from my mother who tells me this story, is that she asked my grandmother, like, why do you read these novels? They're just so horrible and trashy. And she's like, you know, sometimes I just like to turn my brain off for an hour. So she would read those.
See, I like to turn my brain off for an hour every once in a while. That's why I do this show.